With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe P. Zappia. And today we've got another banger for you, another three-round mock draft NFL style here with, of course, my good friend D-Bro, Derek Brown, the King of Bros, one of the many hosts of the Dynasty Podcast, the one, the only, Scott Bogman. And he didn't want to be alone. He wanted another Texas fan to join him. So our boy from YouTube, Bengal, is joining us, one of the best YouTube channels out there, period. Love the channel. You don't need me to tell you about him because he is super famous over there. But Bengal, I want to talk to you about the culture shock of being a Jersey boy who moves to Texas. How's that gone for you?
You know, I've had a lot of family in Texas, so, you know, not my first time here when I moved here. So I've kind of been more ingrained than the typical Jersey kid, but it's been good. You know, it's hot. I will say that. But it's a good place to be. No real complaints. And you know, it's not like I'm getting earthquakes here in Texas.
Not like me. Not like me in New Jersey this morning. In New Jersey, getting earthquakes with my morning coffee. Yeah, that was definitely on my bingo card this morning when I woke up. Whatever. I'm just glad it didn't happen tomorrow when I'm at WrestleMania. So got all the earthquakes out of the way tomorrow. I will be there. Speaking of it, Earthquake, hell of a wrestler too. All right, so we're going to do three rounds here today. It's going to be a really fun show for you. Again, whenever we bring on our guests, we always like to, you know, get a fresh feel and a fresh look at some of these draft boards. Now, not a lot of things might change here because at number one, we seem locked into one spot. Bengal, you're our guest, so kick us off here with the Bears at number one. And it seems like business as usual because it seems like it's the same old guy yet again.
Yeah, I feel like this has kind of been the expectation for, you know, about a year. Whoever was going to pick here, whether it was a trade up, whether it was somebody sticking and picking, it was going to be Caleb Williams. I'm a huge Drake May fan. You know, Boggs will get to that at number three, but Williams is a fantastic player. I feel like the prospect fatigue is set in. You know, we talk about more about the painting of his nails or crying after a game rather than the actual play on field, which is very, very good. Can create out of the construct of the play, gives you upside as both a runner and a passer. Can definitely push the ball downfield.
Yeah. D-Bro cries after every podcast. So, and he is more man than anyone that I know.
During some podcasts, depending on what happens.
All right. So once again, Caleb Williams is the chalk, but it just seems like that foregone conclusion. So that's an easy one. Now the draft really begins. D-Bro, the Commander's up at two. What do you have?
They're going to be crying all night after they select Jaden Daniels, baby. They need the quarterback. They're going to get the quarterback, and we're going to see it. It's going to be beautiful, man. It's just a perfect situation. Jaden Daniels is a hand-in-glove fit for Cliff Kingsbury's offense.
Why is that for those people who are, you know, kind of getting themselves ingratiated, who don't watch college football that much? Why is Daniels such a good fit for that offense?
I mean, Cliff, what he's going to ask him to do is basically use his legs, use his mobility, get him outside the pocket, as well as chucking it deep, man. Like, when Kyler was at his best in this offensive system, he was top five, top 10 in deep passing attempts. We just saw Jaden Daniels lead the entire freaking nation in basically everything deep passing. So all the things of yesteryear when we're all like, oh, Allen Robinson finally got a quarterback. Oh, Terry McLaurin finally gets a quarterback that can hit him on a deep post. It's going to be magical.
Well, that would be nice. So let's hope that works out. Number three, my New England Patriots, Scott Bogman, certainly in need of a quarterback. So is that where they're going?
Yeah, Drake May. I mean, your team would be doing absolute cartwheels if Drake May is here. And there is definitely a possibility that he will be. And this guy reminds me of Philip Rivers. And he's the youngest of all three of these quarterbacks, too. I think that he might be the most naturally gifted pocket passer of these top three. And, you know, he's not going to be like Sam Howell and take 8 million sacks. So we like that out of an NC product here. So Drake May to your boys, get them established. I know there's been a lot of talk about trading out of this spot for them. Why? You don't have a quarterback. There are quarterbacks here to be taken. Do not trade out of this spot. I know this roster is bad, but it's not bad enough to pass up on Drake May. So
will
gotta
he have
take
less
him at three.
Kids than Philip Rivers? That's the question, Box.
I think everyone has less kids.
I think that's probably
except
say,
for
that's
Nick
fair.
Cannon.
Bengal, take notice here. You're a young guy. Just pace yourself. Number four here, the Arizona Cardinals up next. Bengal, the pick belongs to you.
I'm more of one to follow in Antonio Cromartie's shoes. We have Marvin Harrison Jr. Cardinals. Keeping it chalk, you know? He's potentially, you know, the best receiver in this class. He does everything so well. The way I've kind of described him over this entire process has been he makes the difficult things look incredibly easy. He's got body control, has amazing hands, technique and polish as a route runner with obvious plus size. Maybe not super elite after the catch, but you don't necessarily have to be when you're an X-style receiver and your game is not yak. He can be somebody that just can threaten vertical, but certainly win in the intermediate areas of the field as well. He's just a phenomenal pickup here at number four to a team that desperately needs a receiver.
All right, back to number five here, and this is our trade up here with the Minnesota Vikings, which is the chalk right now that we continue to look at. Debro, I know Thor's not here, but I assume you're giving him his quarterback.
I'm doing it for the namesake, baby. I'm doing it for the Fantasy Pros NFL Draft Show. This is where we've been the entire offseason, and I'm staying here. Yes, the Minnesota Vikings come up. They trade 11 and 23 with the Chargers. The Chargers... well, yeah, they get the 11th and 23rd pick. The Minnesota Vikings get the 5th and the 110th overall. They select J.J. McCarthy, and it's going to be amazing, man. This is the best situation for a rookie quarterback to enter. I know T.J. Hockenson, we probably, who knows when we're going to see him in the 2024 season, but Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, Aaron Jones, it's pretty good skill players for a rookie quarterback to be surrounded by.
All right, so far, this looks a lot like the last draft. So, Bogman, number six, the Giants. Last time they went with Malik Nabers. What do they do this time?
You have to take Malik Nabers if you're the Giants. I just don't. And I know maybe Bengal disagrees with me. He's a Giants fan. I just don't know how you could, though. Here are the teams that had fewer explosive passing plays than the Giants last year. The Broncos, the Steelers, the Cardinals, the Jets, the Raiders, the Pats, and the Panthers. That is not a good group to be lumped in with. In fact, every single one of those teams is changing their quarterback, except the Giants here, who had Danny Dimes, and really it is a different quarterback because he barely played last year. You got to get explosive. You have to have big plays, and Malik Nabers is an amazing athlete. His footwork is incredible. He gets open, and he's going to be a great target for whoever is playing quarterback in New York. And I think this is a move they have to make. That wide receiver room is one of the weakest in the NFL.
Bengal, you're up next for the Titans at seven. But the only other thing I can understand making a case for is taking a guy like Joe Alt, because then you're locking in a guy for 10 years on the offensive line that you believe in. The Giants have had offensive tackle issues forever now. That pick I get too, but to Boggs' point, you know, if you were making this pick for the Giants, would you go Nabers or would you go Alt?
I think you're right on there. I just think the conversation maybe is more Nabers or Odunze, because the Giants also lack size in the receiver room. And Odunze is an underrated athlete. He's a really, really good athlete. And, you know, a couple of years ago, we were talking about this guy, like he is the big downfield deep threat, and then added a ton of polish in 2023. Tremendous player as well. I would lean Nabers. I'm just a little bit higher on him because I think the upside's a little bit higher. But I think Odunze is just going to be such a good pro. But yeah, I just think the Giants have such a desperate need at receiver. With offensive tackle, I think you still try and work Evan Neal for another year. It's a terrible situation, but the injuries have also halted his development, unfortunately. So it's a tough spot, but always tough to move that left tackle to right tackle. And that's what you'd be asking Alt to do with Andrew Thomas in New York.
All right. And number seven, again, we have the Titans. So you're going with the offensive tackle here.
How about Joe Alt now? Yeah, this makes perfect sense. You lose Andre Dillard, even if you didn't. You needed somebody that can play left tackle. And Joe Alt is a very, very good prospect. He was another guy that was very good in 2022 and then took his game to another level in 2023. You couldn't beat him in pass pro. He moves so well. He's got a former tight end background. And the Titans, you go out, you bring in Calvin Ridley, maybe wide receiver, less of a pressing need. Joe Alt, plug and play.
Next up, the Falcons at 8. D-Bro, you're on the clock.
Speaking of plug and play, man, Falcons need pass rush. We keep going to the same spot. I know this is the chalk pick, but it's the right pick. Dallas Turner Edge out of Alabama. Look, he needs to be the guy that they take because he fits the scheme. Well, there's been a lot of stuff out there. Raheem Morris is going to run a 3-4, 4-3. I think Dallas Turner is going to fit regardless of whatever they run out there.
All right. Next up at number 9, this is one of the Chargers picks now that also belongs to you, Derek Brown.
Yeah, with the trade, I get back-to-back picks here because we do have, you know, with these teams moving around and stuff, I have the Chargers moving up ahead with the Bears. So the Bears go back, the Chargers get the 9th and 122nd overall, and the Bears get 111, 105, and next year's 5th rounder. And the Chargers hop the Jets. So this is where we kind of get a little bit wild. The Chargers hop the Jets because the consensus pick for the Jets has been Brock Bowers. The Chargers say, They come up and they get Brock Bowers and give Justin Herbert a weapon in the passing game. A lot has been talked about moving Keenan Allen, getting rid of Mike Williams. What are they going to do? What is it going to look like? Brock Bowers could be the number one in this passing attack, and it's not that crazy.
So the Chargers moving up and down. This is fun. Now we're really getting going here. 9 picks into the draft. Chargers go full Mutombo on the Jets. The Jets are up at 10. Bengal, that pick belongs to you.
I think they'd be jumping for joy here. You know, we talked about Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. You can recreate kind of the next best thing. Roma Dunze is the pick here at number 10. He's got a Keenan Allen type play style, and Keenan Allen's been one of the better receivers in the league over the past decade, really. And, of course, Garrett Wilson, Roma Dunze, Mike Williams, health, a little bit of a concern. But that's a pretty strong three. You upgrade the offensive line in free agency, bringing guys like John Simpson, Morgan Moses via trade with the Ravens. And then, of course, all-pro left tackle Tyron Smith. Aaron Rodgers might have the best overall group that he's had in his entire career. Is that a stretch? That's a pretty strong group with the addition of Roma Dunze.
The Bears are up now at 11. So, Scott Bogman, that pick belongs to you.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Byron Murphy, the interior defensive lineman out of the University of Texas. The Bears had the third worst run D grade, and they have not added anything to this defensive interior. They added Jacob Martin is the only edge rusher that they've added here. So I like Gervon Dexter as a nose, Andrew Billings as a nose, and Gervon Dexter next to him. But Dexter has issues with effort on occasion. You are not going to have that with Murphy. He brings the motor and the lunch pail, and he will be a tone setter on the defensive line. I think it'd be a very good pick for the Bears here.
The next pick might blow some people's minds at 12 with the Denver Broncos. Before we get to that pick, and that pick might very well be a gamble, might have been a wager. And speaking of that, DraftKings right now, the champion of the NCAA tournament is going to be crowned very soon. And of course, DraftKings Sportsbook is one of the top rated sportsbook apps. And it's giving new customers a shot at betting $5 to win $150 instantly in bonus bets. Don't forget, we've got all of our college basketball coverage over on bettingpros.com. And of course, over on the Betting Pros YouTube channel. So the best thing you can do right now is download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use that promo code FANTASYPROS. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with that promo code FANTASYPROS. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY to 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See dkng.co/football for eligibility, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after insurance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply.
All right, Boggs, I teased it, because I'm a professional, sort of. At 12, the Denver Broncos are up next. What are they doing?
I'm going to give them Bo Nix. And look, I don't like it. Ooh. Is this too high for Bo Nix? Of course it is. Absolutely. But the Broncos have worked themselves into a corner here, and they need a quarterback. You cannot have Jarrett Stidham and Ben DiNucci be your options for an entire season and expect Sean Payton to keep his job. It's already a mess after cutting Russell Wilson, right? I think it is a little bit too high for Nix. I think Nix is a good quarterback. I think he probably should go closer to the top of the second, like we saw Will Levis, right? Not this early, but the Broncos really have no choice. They have to get one. Sean Payton has worked miracles with quarterbacks before. He has enough traits to be successful. It's not the best situation, but it's one that they've worked themselves into. They have a lot of needs on this roster. I've given them Jared Verse and a lot of mocks that we've done. I think that would be a fine pick for them, but I just cannot stomach a whole season of Jared Stidham as a starter. So if I'm the Broncos, give me Bo Nix, because Bo Nix at least has some upside for you.
And look, this isn't crazy, because right now on DK, you know, the favorite is -175 for Denver to go ahead and make that selection too. So we shall see if that ends up being just a little bit of a misdirect rumor, or if that's actually where they're going. You know, we do have a few weeks left. By the way, don't forget, we're going to be live on Thursday night for the draft right here on our channel. Subscribe to Fantasy Pros YouTube and make sure you ring the bell for notifications, so you know every time we are going here live on the channel. We'll be here live Thursday and Friday too. We're working out that coverage. So we're going to be here doing draft stuff. Join us for it. The Las Vegas Raiders, they're going to be doing draft stuff at number 13. Bengal, what kind of draft stuff are they doing with this next pick?
Got them going offensive tackle here, J.C. Latham from Alabama. Thought really long and hard about taking the first corner off the board here, but ended up just settling for the plug and play right tackle. You know, if Gardner Minshew is going to be in there, or, you know, Aiden O'Connell, you got to protect whoever that quarterback is, maybe even draft one here in round two, maybe move back into the first. But either way, that offensive line needs to be upgraded. They lose Jermaine Illuminor in free agency to the New York Giants, and they get a plug and play starter at right tackle.
There you go. So another tackle off the board. That brings up the Saints at 14, Derek Brown.
Speaking of tackle issues, man, the Saints have got him. Trevor Penning has not been good. Ramchek, we don't even know if he's going to play this year. So the Saints, I mean, this is, again, the chalk pick, but it's the right pick. The Saints have big-time tackle needs. Let's give him Olu Fashanu, offensive tackle out of Penn State.
At 15, the Indianapolis Colts, Scott Bogman. This is a team I'm very excited about in 2024. Make me more excited.
Let's give Brian Thomas Jr. to them, the wide receiver out of LSU. Got size and speed. He'll take Alec Pierce's spot on the outside, and that will give you a trio of Michael Pittman, Josh Downs, and Brian Thomas Jr., who can make plays, and that is how you help your quarterback. Anthony Richardson obviously got hurt, missed a big chunk of last season, but now you have Pittman, Thomas, Jonathan Taylor in the backfield, Anthony Richardson in his wheels. So I think you turn this into a dangerous offense. Yes, corner probably more of a pressing need. They have needs on the O-line, and you know, the whole secondary really is a need. But I think Brian Thomas Jr. makes this team very dangerous offensively, and you got to keep pace with the Texans now with the moves that they're doing if you're the Colts. So let's play point for point.
Seahawks at 16 are up next, and that means Bengals on the board.
Continuing the offensive line run, I'm going Troy Faitanu from Washington. Played left tackle, but I list him here as offensive line. He'd be kicking in to play guard in this scenario. Huge need for the Seahawks at this point. Also, with the injuries to Abe Lucas, maybe something happens to Charles Cross down the line, can play either tackle spot in a pinch. Just felt like he was the best player available.
All right, BPA goes at 16 at 17. That brings up the Jaguars and Derek Brown.
We're filling needs for Jacksonville. They were one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL. Let's get the CB1, the clear CB1 of this class, Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback out of Toledo.
The Bogman Bengals go up next at 18. Oh, that made you upset, Mr. Pittsburgh Steeler. All right, go ahead. Pick for the Bengals, Bogman. What do you have here for a team that is looking to get back on track in 2024?
And my favorite stat about the Bengals for them, I mean, I hate the stat, but you keep Joe Burrow upright and you get him to the end of the season. The two games that he's made are the Super Bowl and the AFC Championship.
Not bad.
That is the name of the game. I know Trent Brown was brought in right after Jonah Williams was cast away. He's missed, I think, 27 games over the last four seasons. Amarius Mims is a monster. Put him on that line. He helps everything. Keep Joe Burrow upright and on his feet, and this team has success. That should be the name of the game for the Bengals.
Okay, up next at 19, the Rams. Bengal, you're up next, so I hope we're not confusing anybody here. The Bengals just pick, but now Bengals picking for the Rams. Oh, no, I've gone cross-eyed. Okay, what do you got, Bengal?
Got Jerzon Johnny Newton from Illinois. He is a penetrating three tech. The Rams have made use of some pretty good undersized interior defensive linemen in the past, kind of lazy, but they also just do have a need at that position. I see a nice combo of Johnny Newton and Kobe Turner, who had a fantastic rookie year, but it's just a major need. And again, Johnny Newton might just be the best player available at this spot.
Okay.
Good luck replacing Aaron Donald, too. No impossible. Pressure, kid.
Yeah, yeah. It is impossible. You know what? Like, but you got to replace the position. You're never going to replace the talent. You're never going to replace the leadership. You're never going to play. I mean, he's a superhuman. Like, he's, yeah. You know, those guys don't come around very often, once a generation, if that. So, it's going to be tough for him, but the need is glaring. So, you talk about needs, that's one the Rams have to address early and often. And if he's the best guy on the board for the job, then you take him. The Steelers at 20, Derek Brown.
Best guy on the board is to replace Mason Cole at center, give him Jackson Powers Johnson, center out of Oregon. Because, look, regardless of whoever's under center this year, whether it's Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, you have to protect against interior pass rush, and Jackson Powers Johnson can do that.
Preach.
Reach? Why?
No, preach.
Oh, I thought you said reach.
Preach. Yeah, preach. Yeah. I love this pick. This is exactly what I want for the Steelers.
Okay. So. Oh, good. Bogman's happy.
Bogman approved.
I'm happy. Yeah, there right. You go. 21, the Dolphins. Bogman, make the Dolphins fans happy at 21.
Jared Verse has fallen all the way down here, and he is a game-wrecking edge rusher, and I just don't know what they're going to do to start the season. I don't think Phillips is going to start on time. I don't think Bradley Chubb is going to start on time. Yes, they added Shaq Barrett, but he's closer to my age than Bengals' age, so that's probably not good. No. So I think they just need help here, and when everyone's healthy, that gives you a dangerous defensive line. By the time we get to the playoffs, it could be really nasty looking. So Jared Verse to the Dolphins.
The Eagles coming off an exciting offseason and a disappointing regular season at 22. Bengal, how do they continue to get better and back on top?
Really thought about going corner here just because it's such a pressing need for Philadelphia, but I can't imagine they do it. You know, Howie Roseman loves to build through the trenches. Of course, Talisa Fuanga out of Oregon State is the guy to do it. Was a monster right tackle. He is a mauler and came in with a little bit shorter arms than maybe I expected at the combine, could potentially move inside to play guard. Eagles have a need at right guard potentially. And long term, got to replace Lane Johnson within the next maybe 3 or 4 seasons. So you're preparing for the future, but also probably getting a starter at right guard.
Nice start there for the Eagles in this draft. They got a lot of picks. At 23, the Los Angeles Chargers is part of that trade. D-Bro, what do the Chargers do with their second pick of the first round?
Take the CB2 off the board. Tarion Arnold, cornerback out of Alabama. Look, they need a starter opposite Asante Samuel. We know that they have needs on the back end. This fills one of them.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel, it's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Dallas Cowboys at 24. That's you, Scott Bachman.
Yeah, let's give him Graham Barton, the offensive lineman out of Duke. He can play tackle. He can play interior. We know that the Cowboys have issues along the offensive line, so whatever spot they want to put him at, he is versatile enough to do it, and it gives him a little flexibility on that O-line. So give me Graham Barton to the Cowboys.
That brings up the Packers at 25 and Bengal.
You talk about positional flexibility with Graham Barton on the offense side of the ball. What about Cooper DeJean here for the Packers? I feel like he is the perfect selection for Green Bay if he's available. Is a phenomenal boundary corner. People want to talk about moving him to nickel or safety. He doesn't have to. Some players have to. DeJean is not one of them. Is athletic enough, is big enough to stick on the boundary, but is also such an amazing tackler, so instinctive that you almost want to move him inside to the slot, that overhang role, because he's so effective and control the game from that spot. And, potentially move back to safety too. You know, you bring in the Boston College head coach to be your new defensive coordinator. Loves to play press man. Cooper DeJean can do that as well. Just feel like it's a phenomenal fit for a team that desperately needs help all throughout the secondary.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers found themselves in the playoffs last year, much to a lot of people's surprise, including mine, even with a W in there. 26, D-Bro, how do they stay in the playoffs again this season?
Well, I'm going to stop the fall for the Aotealatu edge out of UCLA. Look, we know that Tampa Bay needs help as far as pressuring the quarterback. They were third in blitz rate last year, but they were only 21st in pressure rate. They have to correct that this year. So I think this definitely is a start on that road to pressuring the quarterback more.
27, Arizona Cardinals, Scott Bogman.
Yeah, we got Marvin Harrison Jr. already going to them earlier. Let's work on the defense. The only team worse than the Cardinals in pressure percentage was the Commanders. I agree that when you're picking at four, BPA, no doubt, Marvin Harrison Jr., but you have to address the issues on this defense. And Chop Robinson is still available, an athletic guy that can at least play on third downs and put pressure on the QB immediately. So I think this would be an excellent selection for the Cardinals.
Things are going to get real interesting here because as we get to the end of this draft, we've had some changes in the NFL landscape. Stephon Diggs has moved out of Buffalo, so they pick at 28. And then the Kansas City Chiefs might have some problems with one of their receivers, as we know, too. So some different calculus entering into things. Bengal at 28, let's take care of the Buffalo Bills first. Do they address this hole at wide receiver? And if so, who with?
You know, I think they had to, you know, already, even with Stephon Diggs still being on the team, now that he's traded, it becomes an obvious position to me. I'm going Adonai Mitchell, wide receiver from the University of Texas by way of Georgia. Phenomenal player. Effort at times has been an issue. You know, he said at the combine that he just goes out and runs his routes at 85% so he can stay on the field for longer, which probably not going to be a thing there in the NFL. But the upside is immense, can go up and get the football in the air, but is especially impressive as a route runner at his size. I was playing somewhere around 195, came up the combine, maybe more around 205, ran in the low 4.3s. He's an exceptional athlete who's a very good route runner for his size. Doesn't give you a ton after the catch, or at least hasn't yet. But I really love Mitchell as a player. A ton of upside. And the Bills desperately need a receiver for Josh Allen.
Because they desperately have that void now, what does the stat line for Mitchell look like with the Bills, in your opinion? If you had to throw out a projection here of receptions and yardage, what would that look like?
You know, it's tough for a rookie to come out and really produce right away, but you put Adonai Mitchell on that team, he's in the wide receiver one conversation. Like, you bring in Curtis Samuel right in free agency, he's going to get a good share of targets. But Mitchell, I think, could post something like, you know, maybe 800 yards, 8 touchdowns as an aggressive projection as a rookie. Be a really good rookie season, but as a wide receiver one of that offense, he could certainly do a lot more if everything goes right.
Certainly is a good wide receiver class, that's for sure, which should have everybody excited in Dynasty. And remember, everybody, if you're doing your Dynasty drafts, make sure you go to fantasybros.com/simulator, start using the mock draft simulator tool so you can start running some of the numbers here, get yourself comfortable as the drafts of any kind, Dynasty, startup drafts, rookie drafts, whatever it is, we got you covered. fantasybros.com/simulator. Next up here after the Bills, we have got the Detroit Lions at 29 and Derek Brown.
Speaking of getting covered, man, the Detroit Lions have to cover people better in the passing game, man. They struggled last year. With Cam Sutton gone, Detroit needs corner depth. And I know they got Carlton Davis, and I know they signed Amik Robinson. Carlton Davis is an unrestricted free agent after 2024, and there's no telling if he's going to definitively bounce back after a down year. Let's give Nate Wiggins, cornerback out of Clemson, who's fallen down the board a good bit. They will be extremely happy if he falls to here.
Boggs, I feel like we're torturing you in this draft. First, we made you pick for the Bengals. Now you got to pick for the Ravens at 30.
Yeah, but I get to give them a sooner so I can just hate these guys a little extra here. So let's give them Tyler Guyton. I mean, look, this is what the Ravens do. They sit where they are. Mm-hmm. They don't typically move, and they take BPA, whether it's a need or not. This is a need for them, but I don't expect Tyler Guyton to start immediately if he is drafted to the Ravens. Ronnie Stanley's still there, even though he's 100. You know, I think that this guy, it right now, is a mauler, right? He's not really a... He's a developmental tackle with all kinds of upside. So develop his feet a little bit more, get him to play a little bit lower, and he can be an absolute monster. And this is what the Ravens do. They take a guy like this. You know, they take Kyle Hamilton and barely play him, and then the next year he's a Pro Bowler. And that's what they do, and I think the trend continues here with Tyler Guyton.
At 31, the 49ers, what do they do, Bengal?
Another offensive lineman off the board for me. Going Jordan Morgan from Arizona. He's played tackle, probably going to move inside to guard. The Niners have needs all over the offensive line. Trent Williams is such a talented player. I think left tackle 1 in the NFL. But you need a plan for after him as he's getting up there in age, but the rest of the offensive line, still a disaster. So Morgan could fit in probably at left guard. I think about Matthew Bergeron last year, played tackle at Syracuse, moved inside a guard, drafted as a guard for the Falcons. I think Morgan is a very similar player.
All right, 32. Let's close out round one. D-Bro, the Kansas City Chiefs.
I know it's the popular pick for them, but considering all the off-the-field stuff going on with certain Kansas City players, let's go wide receiver Xavier Worthy out of Texas. Could say, like, there's some duplicity here with Marquise Brown already being there, but Xavier Worthy, if you think he's just a carbon copy of Marquise Brown, you are severely underrating his route running.
There's the crappy version from Oklahoma named Marquise Brown, and then there's the good version from Texas named Xavier Worthy. So,
and Bogman the Homer says hi again. Here we go.
Oh, you got two.
I endorse it. Let's take a vote.
With the Texas room. Jersey right behind him, too.
You picked the wrong room to pick this fight. Ricky. This is not a good deal for all these Longhorn fans. But it makes a lot of sense here. The speed is going to kill between those two guys, too. So hopefully Travis Kelce has a healthy season and they're right back on track. Round two right around the corner. Before we get there, look, don't forget, you got to get out and do some stuff this summer, okay? It's spring into summer here. Weather is getting better everywhere except New Jersey, where it just rains all the time and there's earthquakes. But if you want to go out there and have some fun, I don't care if it's a baseball game, football game, I don't care if it's hockey, NBA, the best place to get your tickets is always on the Game Time app. I do it. You should do it too. I'm going to half a dozen concerts already this year. I cannot wait. I got Foo Fighters in July. I've got WrestleMania this weekend and all these events. Guess what? You can get them on the Game Time app. That's how I did. So you should go and do it as well. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use that promo code FANTASYPROS for $20 off your first purchase. That's the way you do tickets right. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem that code FANTASYPROS. That's FANTASYPROS for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices, guaranteed, and I'll see you at the show. All right, let's get to round two. Pick number 33 overall. The Carolina Panthers kick us off, and Scott Bogman.
Yeah, I'm going to give them Ladd McConkey, the wide receiver out of Georgia. The offensive line has been addressed. The tackles weren't really terrible last year. I mean, Ekwonu wasn't fantastic, but I think he'll improve this year. Damian Lewis and Robert Hunt were brought in, and on the Dynasty show, we did buy lows and sell highs, and one of my buy lows is Bryce Young, and I think if you add some talent around him, he can still be the guy that he was at Alabama. It was just a huge embarrassing failure in Carolina last year. They haven't made a lot of good moves, but I think trading for Deontay, improving this O-line, and adding another target for Bryce Young would help him out a lot. I think this would be a good landing spot for McConkey to get immediate targets as well. So I think this fits for everybody.
There you go. Hopefully the Panthers get some draft pick right some point in time. 34, the New England Patriots and Bengal.
Yeah, I'm just ripping every offensive lineman off the board. Here's Kingsley Suamataia from BYU. He's played left tackle, he's played right tackle. You could look at the Patriots and really say, we could need either of those positions, lose Trent Brown. Suamataia, developmental guy, but a really, really good athlete and big upside. Could potentially play guard as well with his play style.
All right, so the Patriots are getting an offensive lineman to protect that quarterback. Good deal there. The Arizona Cardinals at 35, D-Bro.
Well, we're going to continue, or at least continue along the line of remaking this defense. We already took Chop Robinson to Arizona. Let's give him Kool-Aid McKinstry, who tested pretty well. He's a good cover corner. I think he's going to cure a lot of the ails last year for Arizona as far as defending the pass. 48.7% catch rate allowed last season.
Next up, after McKinstry goes off the board, 36, the Washington Commanders and Scott Bogman.
Yeah, let's give them Troy Franklin Jr., the wide receiver out of Oregon. Ooh. And this is Cliff Kingsbury's offense, right? I mean, now you have Terry McLaurin. Hopefully Jahan Dotson looks a little better, but I think that's part of the reason why you take Troy Franklin is because he did not look good last season. Curtis Samuel is gone. Franklin can stretch the field. He's going to fit perfectly right into this Kingsbury offense. I think this is a good fit for the Commanders. They still have a lot of needs on defense, but they have a decent amount of picks coming up here. So let's go with the BPA, and I think that is Troy Franklin.
This would be so nice, man. Moving Dotson into the slot, I'm here for that.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. Look, all of a sudden you give Daniels that's three legit guys there that could change the dynamic of that offense very quickly. Next up is who do we have? We have the Chargers coming in next, and that's Bengal at 37 overall.
Got the Chargers going Keon Coleman from Florida State by way of Michigan State. I think people are down on Keon Coleman right now, but he is the best jump ball player in the draft. You worry a little bit about the separation, but his play speed really is not all that slow. He's got some wiggle, returned punts for Florida State. I don't know how many 6'4", 215-pound receivers are out there returning punts. So he's a phenomenal athlete. You look at what Justin Herbert was able to do with Mike Williams, just throw the ball up. Williams will come down with it. Keon Coleman has that exact same trait. So if you need someone to come down with the football, be a red zone threat, Keon Coleman's the guy.
So what do you think of this start here? Bowers and Coleman, Bengal. What do you think about the new look Chargers offense with Harbaugh, the way it pans out in this draft?
I mean, you lose, you know, some really talented skill players that have been there for a while, and let's bring in some different ones. And we know what Justin Herbert can do. He's got one of the most electric arms in football. Yes, you know, there are a lot of talks about Harbaugh really beefing up the trenches, and it's a possibility. I just look at the contract situation of a guy like Trey Pipkins, and that tells me you don't necessarily need to take a tackle high in this draft. Wide receiver is a terrible position for them. They have no tight end outside of Donald Parham, right? So If you can upgrade with Brock Bowers and Keon Coleman, you feel pretty good about it. Quentin Johnston can't really catch the football. Not so much of an issue for Keon Coleman.
All right, let's move on to the next squad up here. It's the Tennessee Titans at 38, Derrick Brown.
Let's give him edge. Darius Robinson out of Missouri. They were 27th in pressure rate. I'm not telling you that Simmons and Landry down there are bad, but they need some help.
Next up at 39, the Carolina Panthers back to Boggs.
Yeah, let's give him Braylon Trice, the edge rusher out of Washington. And look, I got to, you know, Bengal and I got to see him up close and personal in the Sugar Bowl. He was harassing Quinn Ewers a lot. This team needs to add pressure, obviously, after trading Brian Burns. A lot like, you know, Newton replacing Donald. Trice isn't going to come in here and replace Burns, but he does give them another weapon on the edge here. So Braylon Trice to the Panthers.
Next up is Bengal with the Commanders with one of the many picks, as you alluded to earlier, Boggs, for the Bengals. I mean, excuse me, for the Commanders. Yeah, I screwed it up. I knew I was going to do it one point. 40, Commanders, Bengal, you're on the clock.
Theme of this draft for them so far has been upgrading the offense. Take your starting quarterback. Take a big, deep threat at wide receiver. But we need someone to let Troy Franklin get down the field. Zach Frazier can do that. Plug and play starting center. I really don't think he needs to develop very much at all in terms of what a prospect is. Everyone needs to develop, right, for draft prospects. But he is a very, very solid player, tough as they come, wrestling background, checks off all the boxes for an offensive lineman. And really, I think, yeah, plug and play starting center for Washington.
D-Bro, the Packers are a very young team at 41. They're going to get younger, but with who?
Joey, I'm just glad you didn't say the Washington Nationals. So I feel like we're still doing things right.
I haven't done
track,
it all draft season. I'm doing baseball 5 days a week. I'm coming here doing this show. Bengal knows he watches the baseball stuff. But you know what? It's not always easy to beat Joey P. It's not always easy.
No, it's not. I mean, all these homer calls, man.
Six home runs correctly in 3 days.
I knew it was coming. That's why I was trying to set you up.
I got the Alvarez two, and I got Pete Alonso yesterday. So
what are you doing, D-Bro?
There you go.
I'm just trying to make
Before
our host feel a little
lose
better,
their mind
okay?
on the YouTube comments. I hear you. Let's get back to football. The Packers, D-Bro, what do you got?
Packers have needs on the interior. Let's give them Cooper Beebe, guard out of Kansas State. John Runyon leaving, so this fills a need.
There you go. Bogman's going to fill the need because I'm going to be hung over from WrestleMania on Monday, and he's going to take over the baseball show for me. So at 42, Boggs, what are you doing with the Houston Texans?
Let's give them a corner. Let's give them TJ Tampa, the corner out of Iowa State. They need another boundary guy because currently, I mean, we love Derek Stingley on one side. He showed great improvement last year. But Jeff Okuda, I know he's a former first-round pick, but he has been kicked around the league a little bit. I think getting a better guy like TJ Tampa in here to start or at least compete with Okuda and start eventually another boundary guy for them to really help there. They got enough help in the slot, so give them TJ Tampa out of Iowa State.
We've had a lot of Falcons defensive picks, I feel like, as we've done these mock draft shows. At 43, you've got another direction here for the second round pick of the Falcons, Bengal.
You decided to go Roman Wilson, wide receiver from Michigan. Electric speed. He's a little undersized, but can play on the outside. He's a good enough route runner, and he's a really powerful run blocker at only about 5'10". You know, it's unbelievable how aggressive he is. And you had to be if you were playing in that Michigan offense for Jim Harbaugh there. But I look at the Falcons receiving room, see Drake London, big body, maybe not so much of a deep threat. You bring in Rondale Moore, but that's a short-term band-aid type solution, I would say. Wilson gives you a receiver under control, you know, 4 years here, and gives a vertical threat for Kirk Cousins. I think that's a pretty fun fit.
At 44, the Las Vegas Raiders are up. And D-Bro, every single time we get to this pick, it's been Michael Penix. Every single show. Are we staying on to trend again?
I mean, at this point, can we deviate? Do we really think they're going to walk into week one with Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell under center?
No. I think they still might walk into week one that way, but I don't know if they're going to walk out of week 18 that way. I guess that's the real question.
I think after addressing the offensive line in the first round, they have to take Michael Penix here. Get your quarterback of the future. That is not Aiden O'Connell. That is not Gardner Minshew. They signed both those guys, or they signed Minshew as a stopgap just in case they got boxed out of the quarterback market. That doesn't happen here. Give him Penix with the offensive line that can keep him in clean pockets. We could see Devontae Adams having a much better season than people are maybe anticipating right now.
I'm still trying to recover from Bo Nix in the first round, but we'll see. Thank God we have three rounds here today for me to have that
recovery. Well, one guy throws deep and the other guy checks down all day. They're very different.
That's fine. 45, the New Orleans Saints, Scott Bogman.
I'm going to give him Tyler Newbin, the safety out of Minnesota. I just think that for the Saints, the roster is pretty good. Sure, they could use a wide receiver, but go BPA here. I think Newbin slipped a little too far in this draft. I think this would be a great selection for them. So let's give him the safety out of Minnesota.
At 46, that's the Colts and Bengal.
Back-to-back safeties going Jaden Hicks from Washington State. He is athletic enough to play over the top, but I love him in the box. He can stick with tight ends, tight end eraser. Jaden Hicks is a tremendous player. Colts need help in the secondary.
Good fit there at 47. The New York Giants are up next, and Derek Brown.
Well, they filled one guard need. Let's give them another one. John Runyon's going to be on one side. Aaron Stinney is not going to be the starting left guard for week one. Let's give him Christian Haynes, guard out of UConn.
Scott Bogman, the Jacksonville Jaguars at 48. They're on the clock.
Let's continue building on this defense. Quinyon Mitchell slipped to them to pick 17. I'm going to give him Chris Braswell, the edge rusher out of Alabama, a big physical kid. And look, we just don't know how long, Josh Allen is for this defense. He's franchised right now. We haven't really seen Trayvon Walker, the number one overall pick in 22, work out. So I think you just need to keep adding to this group. They added Gibson in the offseason. But your fourth is Yasir Abdullah. I think you need to get a little more talent here. So let's go Braswell.
Finally, it happened. Bengal at 49, picking for the Bengals. I'm so happy. It's a nexus of the universe. This is kind of a luxury pick, though, for the Bengals. It feels like a little bit. So do they go on the offensive side or the defensive side of the football?
Well, we're going offense here. Malachi Corley, receiver from Western Kentucky. T. Higgins is franchise tag. Not that Corley is a replacement for him at all. It's just Corley, I can't fathom that Trent Irwin continues to get as many snaps as he does for Cincinnati. Joe Burrow, Malachi Corley, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, that's an offense that can compete to be the best in the NFL this year. Corley is a monster after the catch, can play in the slot, can play on the outside. He really hasn't had a super complex route tree playing at Western Kentucky. They just said, all right, we're going to throw it to you underneath every play. Do what you can do. And he did. He was phenomenal after the catch, is a forced missed tackle machine. He is a tremendous option in the slot here to replace Tyler Boyd.
All right, so after Boyd's replacement comes to town at 50, the Eagles, last time they didn't take the corner. Will they take the corner this time, Derek Brown?
They will. I'm going to go with the corner for Philly right here. After Bengal is making all Charlie Jones stands weep right now. Let's give him Enos Rakestraw Jr.
Very different players.
Enos Rakestraw Jr. out of Missouri. He's got outside inside versatility. I know they just re-signed Avante Maddox, but Philly has to address the slot here. They have been terrible at covering the slot over multiple seasons. Last season, they gave up the most receiving yards in the NFL to opposing slot wide receivers. So Enos can play outside inside. So like, if James Bradbury is really just cooked at this point, he can help out there or he can kick inside.
At 51, the Pittsburgh Steelers, Scott Bogman, what do you give your boys?
Got the offensive lineman in the first round. Thank you, D-Bro. Now let's get another piece to the secondary. Kamari Lassiter, the cornerback out of Georgia. This is someone to help the depth here because this is really the weakest spot for the Pittsburgh Steelers. No, the O-line needs to be addressed at tackle also, but I think corner here, Kamari Lassiter, is one of the better ones in this draft. He's not going to make too many plays on the ball, but he will be a good cover corner. So
if he would have ran faster, he wouldn't even be here either.
Absolutely. Yeah. So
I would have ran faster. I wouldn't have been on the show today, but I got caught.
But Kamari Lassiter, I just think this is a great selection for the Steelers. Turn that weakness into a strength.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret, like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard to snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
All right, next up is the Rams. Last time they went defensive tackle. This time, Bengal, what do they do at 52?
Continuing to beef up the defensive line, going to Deesa Isaac from Penn State. Still developing as a player, but it gives you another guy in that room, maybe a designated pass rusher right away. He's a good player. Seemed like the best edge available between him and maybe Marshawn Neal, and I went for Isaac from Penn State.
Okay, next up, the Eagles again. Derek Brown continuing to beef up the defense.
Yes, sir. Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker out of Texas A&M. I know they signed Devin White, but Devin White's kind of a cast off at this point in his career. N'Kobe Dean, we don't even know if he's going to be healthy enough to start week one. So this is not only depth, but Edgerrin Cooper could be starting for them week one.
Very possible. Cleveland Browns at 54. Scott Bogman, I didn't realize you did the trifecta today. Just picking yeah. for the entire AFC Central. This is
Central, yes.
I got the baseball went in my head for a second.
Central.
Well, it used to be the AFC Central a long time ago.
I know. I was old enough to remember that, but again, see, I knew at some point I was going to get hung up on baseball. There it is. It happened. You predicted
it. So who are the Guardians taking, Bogman?
The Guardians, the Cleveland Spiders are going to select Junior Colson. Junior Colson, the linebacker out of Michigan here. Right now, Jordan Hicks comes in, and Jordan Hicks is a journeyman. Like, he just goes and starts and plays well wherever he is exclusively on one-year deals. JOK is still a very good linebacker, but he's hurt consistently, and Devin Bush blows, and he is a starter on this offense. I have watched him too much. Let's replace him with a good Michigan linebacker, and let's go Junior Colson to the Browns.
All right, Devin Bush just catching strays here. Jeez.
He's not a stray. He's been bad for a long time.
With the Dolphins, good luck.
It's going to be tough, too. I'm going to go Kieran Amagaji, offensive tackle from Yale. I will say I have not watched any Yale film this time around, but I've talked to a lot of guys that love him as a player. He's got tremendous overall size and athleticism, but it sounds like he still needs to work on functional strength and actually playing the position. And I think with the Dolphins, you can afford to get a developmental guy in there. You have Austin Jackson at right tackle, Teron Armstead at left tackle, who is a phenomenal athlete, maybe the best athlete at offensive tackle of all time, around 4.71 at 305 pounds. But Amagaji's got a big time potential. Doesn't have to play right away.
Heard he was very good in the acapella group at Yale, too. Just saying. 56, the Dallas Cowboys, Derek Brown.
Oh, man. In Dallas, they need the beef, man. Let's give them T'Vondre Sweat, baby. Defensive tackle out of Texas. Dallas has had problems trying to stop the run. They keep trying to address this. I think they finally get it right here. T'Vondre Sweat had he was the highest graded defensive tackle last year in all of college football. Whereas you talk about the match here, Dallas had the 12th lowest stuff rate and gave the 4th highest success rate to gap runs last year.
Would he have been a better defensive tackle replacement for the Rams earlier in the first round, or just too early of a grade there for Sweat?
I think it's too early of a grade, but making the case here, Joey, that is a fantastic case for the Rams to possibly trade back. Say, look, we could get Sweat later. We don't have to go D-tackle in the first round. If Sweat's really high on their board, that's a possibility in this draft.
57, Boggs, who is on the Buccaneers board?
Let's give him Xavier Leggett, the wide receiver out of South Carolina. And last time I was on the show, I mistakenly said he didn't have a good combine. What I meant was at the Senior Bowl, his measurements were less than we thought. Came in at 6'1". I did make a mistake. Someone pointed it out. Thank you. Let's give them Xavier Leggett, a athletic wide receiver. He was a little bit of a late bloomer at South Carolina, but he had an outstanding year, really improved himself at the combine as well. And, you know, Baker Mayfield isn't fantastic. Let's give him another target. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Xavier Leggett, no excuses to have a backfall from the great season that they had last season. So I think this would be a good selection for the Bucs.
All right, Green Bay Packers, Bengal, you're up on the clock.
Going Javon Buller, defensive back out of Georgia. Think he can play the slot, potentially play safety. So, I mean, sounds pretty familiar with what we talked about with Cooper DeJean. Need more help in the secondary. We're making it a real focal point.
All right, a real focal point there. Now I can get excited because there's a trade. We like the trades here. At 59, D-Bro, take us through this deal.
You thought all the trades were just consolidated to the first round, baby. I'm moving and shaking. I'm trying to get ahead of teams. And we have the Baltimore Ravens coming up and hopping the Houston Texans, saying, look, the Texans are like, we got plenty of wide receivers. We don't need a wide receiver. Whereas Baltimore's like, okay, I know the Bills are right there. Yes, they took a wide receiver round one. Maybe they go wide receiver round two again, but Baltimore hops them to get their guy. Let's give him Ricky Pearsall, wide receiver out of Florida. Can play outside, inside. He's a fantastic my ball kind of guy. Love his game, man.
So the Ravens get up to 59. The Buffalo Bills are at 60. Boggs, what do they do?
Yeah, look, I'm going to go Javon Baker, the wide receiver out of UCF. It's a pair with Adonai Mitchell. And you can't compete with the Chiefs or some of these high-flying offensive teams, the Dolphins in the AFC, if you can't also score. I don't think Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, Justin Shorter are going to cut it. So if this team comes out of the draft with Adonai Mitchell on the outside and Baker as your long guy, a guy that does everything Gabe Davis does, except for he also catches the ball, I think that they would be very, very happy with this result. So
I got a hot take. I got a hot take on this one. If they make this pick, Javon Baker will finish the season with more receptions and receiving yards than Adonai Mitchell.
Ooh, oh, man, I don't know. It's going to be tough to beat 200 catches, 2,000 yards, and 25 touchdowns.
Conservative projections for the Texas guy. That's right. We know.
All right, 61, back to Bengal for the Lions.
Yeah, you know, I'm going Chris Jenkins from Michigan here. Worked out pretty well last time. They kept a guy in state with Aiden Hutchinson. Chris Jenkins has a ton of upside. Obviously, the son of former defensive tackle Chris Jenkins. You know, you might remember that name. Very different players, but Jenkins has big-time upside, super athletic guy, and the Lions need more on the inside. I know you bring in DJ Reader. I'm not done. Get Jenkins as a rotational piece.
Texans are up next as part of that trade at 62, D-Bro.
Well, they trade back and still get their guy. Let's give him Braden Fiske, defensive tackle out of Florida State. I know that they made additions to the defensive line. They brought in Danico Autry, Daniil Hunter, but they still need another D tackle to play opposite Autry.
All right, next up is the 49ers at 63, Scott Bogman.
You don't want to try to say this name, Joe? Aurora?
I'm good. I already accidentally said AL Central. So I'm going to sit AFC in my Central, corner now but, with my wounds after that.
Interior defensive lineman from Clemson. We've already fixed or helped fix the O-line earlier in this draft by taking Jordan Morgan. Bengal took that move. Let's go with Rook Aurora, the big interior defensive lineman out of Clemson. They lost Eric Armstead. They're trying to replace him with Malik Collins. I don't really like that. So let's at least give a little competition to that spot. 6'4", 295. Really good option next to Gravedigger, Javon Hargrave, on that defensive line.
Closing out the second round, it's Kansas City Chiefs at 64 and Bengal.
Going Mike Sainer still from Michigan. You know, similar to Brian Branch last year, you see these nickels that are so talented, such great players fall down the board. Sainer's still kind of in that similar mold, Mike Hilton type clone, and we've seen how effective he's been in the league. Chiefs lose an undersized DB who plays bigger in Legarius Sneed to Tennessee and replace him with Mike Sainer still from Michigan.
All right, third round is now upon us, boys and girls. So let's get to 65. The Panthers took a wide receiver at the top of the second. D-Bro, what do they do at the top of the third?
continue to add pass game weapons around Bryce Young. Let's give him Jatavion Sanders, tight end out of Texas. And no, Dave Canellis talks really, really well about Tommy Tremble. He is not going to be the starting tight end for Carolina week one.
Well, that upsets myself and Scott Bogman. We love Tommy Tremble. All right, Boggs, you're up at 66 for the Arizona Cardinals. What do they do here?
I'm going to give them Jalen Polk, the wide receiver out of Washington. And look, this is another team that I will give a second wide receiver to. I like Michael Wilson a lot, but at the NFL level and at the collegiate level, he has already missed games. So Michael Wilson, very, very good, but they need more help at this position. Give them Harrison, give them Polk with Wilson and Trey McBride. Now, all of a sudden, this looks like a very, very potent passing offense in a division that is going to be tough to score on teams like the Niners, the Rams, the Seahawks. Got to keep pace, got to keep scoring. So let's give Kyler Murray some more weapons here.
The Commanders have done a lot of work on offense at 67. Bengal, do they switch to the other side of the ball or do they stick with the theme?
Yeah, they need edge, they need safety, but they need to protect their young quarterback. Patrick Paul still available out of Houston. Another, you know, larger than life offensive tackle. I could say that about so many different tackles in this class. And he's available here at 67. I just think the value is too good. So Patrick Paul, starter upside, but probably not right away.
At 68, the New England Patriots and Derek Brown.
Joey, just go ahead and say thank you. I'm going to give you one of my favorite wide receivers in this entire draft class, Jermaine Burton, wide receiver out of Alabama. Look, if they're going to go with the guy Drake May in the first round, they give him Sumataia to protect him on the O-line. We have to give him pass game weapons. Burton is being slept on in this class, man. I love his game. He was asked to stretch the field at Bama, did that extremely well, but that is sleeping on his game. He is a three-level threat, fantastic route runner. He will flourish and be the wide receiver one. If they select him here, he will be the wide receiver one in New England this year.
I can only hope this draft goes according to, or should I say the real draft goes according to what you've done for the Patriots here. That would be great. Something tells me it's not going to go that route. But so far, I'm loving this. Theoretically, this is fantastic.
Trading back, taking three tackles is what they're going to do.
God, I'm so depressed now you said that. All right, 69, the Chargers and Scott Bogman, you're back up.
I'm going to give the Chargers my favorite linebacker in this draft, Peyton Wilson, the linebacker out of NC State. He is an absolute mauler, a bruiser. The dude can run. The issue with him is he has an extensive injury history, and you know he fits right in for the Chargers for that. They have an extensive injury history at every single position. But right now on the roster, it's Denzel Perryman, it's Troy Dye, Deion Henley's from a different regime here. Nick Neiman is the starter. I think Peyton Wilson gives him some leadership and a big presence in the middle of that defense.
The Giants are up at 70. Bengal, what do you think they do?
I'm taking a running back. I think we, you know, forgot that was a position in the NFL for a little while.
A running back. Yeah. I remember those. But
the first one off the board. Oh my goodness. Is that a Texas player to my favorite NFL team?
Yeah. Look at that. Sure. Who would have thought of that?
Bogman's grinning ear to ear.
Going Jonathan Brooks, and he enjoyed a fantastic breakout season in 2023, derailed by injury at the end. But this is a guy who can catch the football, who has tremendous patience and vision. And the one thing I talk about with Jonathan Brooks is I don't know that I've seen a running back consistently force missed tackles at the last level of the defense as much as Jonathan Brooks does. If there's a chance to take it to the house, he is making a safety miss every single time. He's got electric speed. Will that be there after the return from the ACL? We'll have to see. But you lose Saquon Barkley. Devin Singletary is a nice add via free agency. Jonathan Brooks can be that guy that doesn't have to play a ton as a rookie coming back from injury. And then you get, you know, your guy that can catch and run. I don't want to say Saquon Barkley replacement because it's tough to replace that guy. Mm. But can do similar things. And here at 70, I love it.
Well, I think as a Giants fan, you would take similar things in more games, right? I mean, I think that's what you like, a little bit more durability, too.
Now they're going to be worried with the ACL that I'm just taking another injury-prone running back. But
well,
it's just one incident for the Chargers, too. Don't worry about it.
Look, Bengal, if the knee brace fits. All right, let's get 71 here, the Arizona Cardinals and Derek Brown. That's me.
It's not nice.
Let's continue the defensive overhaul here. Defensive tackle Michael Hall at Ohio State.
Okay, there you go. Another defensive tackle off the board here. Bogman up with the Jets at 72. What do you have?
They don't have many needs, the Jets here. This is a pretty complete roster at this point. Let's go with Cam Kitchens, a safety that can make a play on the ball. They lost Whitehead, so Chuck Clark and Tony Adams are currently their starters. Maybe the one weakness on that defense. So we'll go ahead and give them Cam Kitchens, a guy that can go up and make a play for him.
They could use an extra Achilles tendon. At 73, the Detroit Lions up at Bengal.
Going Devontae Walker, receiver from North Carolina. I feel like people are down on him right now, dropped the ball a lot at the Senior Bowl, but didn't really drop the ball on tape. And I value that a little bit more than a tough week for him. He's a field stretcher, a transfer from Kent State. Didn't get eligibility at first. It was so strange. Then finally was granted it at UNC and then just proceeded to go off with Drake May. And he's a really good player. I could see him going anywhere from, you know, the top of the second round to about this range. And in a stacked receiver class, he's getting buried right now, but is athletic as any of them and is a really fun fit here in Detroit. They lose Josh Reynolds, enter Tez Walker.
All right. The Falcons are up next here. D-Bro, they already took a wide receiver and an edge. They got their quarterback. What do they do next?
They need to give AJ Terrell a running mate. They keep trying to do that. I think they finally get it right here. Let's give him Chris Abrams-Drain, cornerback out of Missouri. And I've been rolling down the board with all these Mizzou players. Apparently, maybe I need to buy some merch too. Okay. But 89.9 coverage grade last year, 47.1 catch rate allowed. I think that he could start week one.
Next up are the Bears at 75 and Scott Bogman.
Let's continue building this defensive line. We gave them Byron Murphy a little bit earlier. Let's give him Marshawn Nealon, the edge rusher out of Western Michigan, a bully, a big defensive end that can push and run through a tackle. I think it's what they need. It's going to help that secondary. That is very good as well. They've replaced the linebackers. So I think really the only thing that needs fixing for the Bears defense is this spot. So the defensive line. So we give him Murphy and Nealon. I think they're sitting pretty.
All right, up next at 76, the Denver Broncos. That puts Bengal in the hot seat.
Broncos need to upgrade their secondary, going Andrew Phillips, corner from Kentucky. Super athlete. I project him to be more of a slot corner, but I think he's got enough size to stick on the outside if a team wants to do that. Broncos get another athletic and versatile defensive back.
At 77, the Raiders are on the clock again, and so is Derek Brown.
Well, you're going to take Michael Penix in the second round. You sure as heck better have blocking up front. They took J.C. Latham. Let's give him Christian Mahogany, guard out of Boston College. They continue to remake the right side of that offensive line to keep Penix upright.
Feels like every pick belongs to the Commanders. They're up again at 78, Scott Bogman.
Yeah, I said the only team with a worse pressure rate than the Arizona Cardinals was the Washington Commanders. We've spent every single pick on the offense so far. Daniels, Franklin, Frazier, Patrick Paul. So let's give them Jonah Ellis, who slipped a little bit. I think this would be a great selection for them. Dan Quinn coming in has brought in a lot of guys that helped him in Dallas, but no real difference makers. I think Jonah Ellis could develop into a difference maker.
The Falcons, with their last pick, just addressed the secondary. Now Bengal, what do they do at 79?
Their defensive line isn't fantastic, and Mason Smith is a lottery ticket of sorts. Based on his play a couple of years ago, I thought this was somebody that was going to be in the first round conversation, gets hurt, doesn't have quite the dominant 2023, but the upside is there. Falcons could certainly use it.
Okay, up next is the Cincinnati Bengals at 80, Derek Brown.
Time to make all the Zach Moss believers and Chase Brown stands cry. Let's give him three down running back Trey Benson, running back out of Florida State. The guy's got wheels. He could fly. He could play in the passing game. Even if the Bengals wanted to ease him in, yes, they have other running backs on the roster. I do not think that Zach Moss or Chase Brown are going to be the starter for Cincinnati week one.
All right. So let's say they're patient with the rookie and because they did get Zach Moss, that they're going to give him a little run first. Would you rather take Zach Moss at his ADP or Trey Benson at his in redraft leagues?
I'll probably take Benson, man. I think Moss will probably hold the steam a certain amount considering what he did last year. And everybody gets so married to all that stuff from last year. It's a new season, baby. I'm going Benson.
Okay, living in the now. That's Derek Brown. 81, the Seattle Seahawks, Scott Bogman.
Yeah, linebackers still a need. They did finally add some pieces late. I was wondering what they were going to do with this position. Jerome Baker is coming in. Tyler Dotson, the number one graded PFF linebacker last season, although on very few snaps. Let's give them Jeremiah Trotter Jr., the linebacker out of Clemson. Add some depth, gives a little influx of youth at this position as well. It's a big need for the Seahawks.
Next pick belongs to Bengal, and it's for the Colts at 82.
Back-to-back defense going Max Melton here, corner from Rutgers. Another super athlete to a team that loves these super athletes. Chris Ballard just takes the relative athletic score guys that are super high. Great metric there from Kentley Platt at MathBomb on Twitter. It's just total grade about how great an athlete is. And Max Melton fits the bill. Colts need help in the secondary.
Who fits the bill for the Rams at 83, Derek Brown?
Continue to build through the trenches. They took Johnny Newton. They took another edge. Now let's give them Blake Fisher, offensive tackle out of Notre Dame. He could compete with Larrick Jackson to start at left tackle in week one.
Scott Bogman, your Pittsburgh Steelers at 84. How'd they let you get two picks? I'll never know for the Steelers, but you got them. So what do they do?
Yeah, I mean, it is an Arthur Smith offense, right? But you still need receivers. So let's give them Brendan Rice, a wide receiver out of USC. Jerry Rice's kid, big physical guy, going to help block in the run game as well. And I don't think he'll have a lot of issues being out Van Jefferson or Quez Watkins for a starting gig.
One should hope not, but man, that's a tough name to have on the back of your jersey to try to fill those kind of expectations. Next up, Cleveland Browns at 85, back to Bengal.
Going Christian Jones, tackle from Texas. Oh, no, I had to force another Texas player into this draft. What a shame.
God, here we go.
Hey, you know what? This is not the first time. Look, the Texas has been very well represented in these shows for the last month and change. They really look, they put together a terrific program, and you know they've been super competitive. I know Debra doesn't want to hear it, but I know you guys do. It's just the truth.
I was looking for more of a true left tackle at this spot, but Christian Jones, another tackle into the mix, probably an NFL right tackle, played so at Texas. I think the Browns will be taking a tackle somewhere high in this draft, bringing a lot of them in on top 30s.
Okay, coming up next is Debro at 86 for the Texans.
Let's give him Cole Bishop, safety out of Utah. Jimmy Ward is an unrestricted free agent in 2025 and entering his age 34 season. Was kind of banged up last year. Let's give him some depth.
Next up is Scott Bogman and the Dallas Cowboys at 87. Look, how about them Cowboys, Boggs?
The best selection in this mock, Jalen Wright, running back out of Tennessee, at least for fantasy. It's definitely the best. Look, I took him in the second round for the Cowboys the last time we did this exercise. This is what happens, though. People don't understand how a guy this talented can slip. We're looking at what these teams need, what they're going to want on their team on a need-to-need basis, not based on the players on the board. So Jalen Wright slips all the way down to the Cowboys. He would immediately come in and be the starter, and we've improved the offensive line with Grant Barton. I think this would be a really good get for the Cowboys should Wright drop all the way down here to pick number 87.
Debro, despite Brooks going earlier here to the Giants at 70, because of what Bogman's saying, would Wright be the better 2024 fantasy investment because of the Cowboys' desperate need there and nobody really in front of him?
Absolutely. Okay. I cannot agree with that.
And
more.
Brooks is coming off the ACL, and also, he has Singletary.
Jalen Wright also, I do have him ranked. I'm in on Jalen Wright. I love him. He's my RB2 in this class, so I have him ranked over Brooks as well.
All right, the Packers are up at 88. That means Bengal, you're up.
Going Brandon Dorlus, versatile inside-outside defensive lineman from Oregon. Sounds like what the Packers like. Can never have too many of those guys.
Next up at 89, Debro and the Buccaneers.
Well, Tampa Bay wants to be covered in case Baker Mayfield turns back into a pumpkin without Dave Canellis there. So let's give him quarterback Spencer Rattler. I think he goes somewhere in the third round of the NFL draft. Question is where. The Buccaneers are a good landing spot for him. Baker's only got 2 years of guaranteed good money on his contract. So it's not crazy to say that they take a quarterback here.
Scott Bogman, you're picking for the Cardinals at 90.
Yeah, look, the Cardinals are absolutely loving this draft right now, right? They have stacked these picks. Marvin Harrison, Chop Robinson, Kool-Aid, Jalen Polk, Michael Hall Jr. Let's give him Jarvis Brownlee, another corner out of Louisville. That gives him Kool-Aid and Brownlee and Murphy Bunting and Garrett Williams. I think the secondary is greatly improved if this is the way it breaks for the Cardinals.
Okay, we'll see if it does or not. But so far, you're right. Cardinals look pretty good here. 91, that puts the Packers and Bengal back up again.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised it took them this long to take a linebacker. You know, they love to force those guys up the board. Tommy Eichenberg from Ohio State, tackling machine, can zone drop a little bit. Kind of worried about him in space overall. But tackling machine, it sounds like Blake Martinez. They loved him for a while. So Tommy Eichenberg is the pick here.
Next up is Debro at 92 for the Buccaneers.
Again, Buccaneers are not going to walk into week one with Robert Hainsey as their center. Let's give him Cedric Van Pran, center out of Georgia.
All right. Up next again is Bogman at 93 for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, we've got Guyton and Pearsall already going here. I think they need a little help on the edge. Austin Booker, a good edge rusher out of Kansas, I think would fit really well here and give them some depth at that position.
In the home stretch here. Another Texas player. Are we out? Are we out of Texas players?
Well, you know, we got a couple picks left. We'll see. We're in the home stretch. At 94, the San Francisco 49ers and Bengal.
Going Renardo Green here from Florida State. I love the FSU corners this year. Renardo Green, Jerrion Jones, great players. Renardo Green is the big press guy of the two. Very good athlete as well. Niners could use an upgrade at corner.
So the Niners go corner. That brings up the Chiefs at 95. Debro, where do they go?
Well, the Chiefs have filled needs throughout this entire draft. They took the wide receiver round one. They took the cornerback, which hopefully allows Trent McDuffie to push to the boundary in round two. Let's give him Dominic Pooney, offensive tackle or guard, wherever you want to put him at. I think they could try him at offensive tackle because there is a need at left tackle for them. And last year, he was really good at protecting the quarterback. 90.4 pass pro grade, zero sacks, and allowed zero QB hits.
All right, a few supplemental picks here. We got the Jaguars at 96 and Scott Bogman.
Let's give him Kalen Bullock, the free safety out of USC. They lost Rayshon Jenkins, who wasn't great, but would occasionally make big plays on the ball. I think Kalen Bullock brings that same type of skill set to the Jaguars. So get a guy that can go and get the ball for them on occasion.
At 97, Bengal and the Bengals.
Hunter Norzad, center from Penn State. I looked at a bunch of different centers at this spot. Norzad just seemed to be the best one available. Super smart guy, super high starting upside. So felt like a no-brainer to continue to try and upgrade that offensive line for Joe Burrow.
All right, at 98, that brings up Derek Brown and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Boggs, I hope you're happy with this, baby. I'm giving you a tackle. That way we can move Broderick Jones back to left tackle. Let's give him Roger Rosengarten, offensive tackle out of Washington.
Love it.
Offensive tackle there to the Steelers. That puts the Rams up at 99. It's Scott Bogman.
Let's give him Jerrion Jones, the slot corner out of Florida State. They've done a good job fixing the secondary. Darius Williams brought in Cam Curl to play safety. Trey White taking a risk on him. Coming back as a boundary guy, Jerrion Jones can plug in the slot, compete with Quentin Lake for that starting job.
And lastly, pick 100, Bengal. Close us out with who other than the Washington Commanders again.
You say pick 100. It feels like this is the 100th pick we've seen for the Commanders so far.
It does.
Got like 10 in the top 100. It's unbelievable. But when offense, 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 now we're going defense, defense, defense. I'm going Dadrian Taylor, Demerson, safety from Texas Tech. I think he's probably the best pure over-the-top single high type safety in this class. He's available here at 100. Commanders lost Cam Curl. Bring in another safety.
Campbell would love him.
There you have it. The question is, will the Commanders make the most of these picks? Hopefully, maybe they'll do as good of a job as we did. Probably not. I wouldn't bet on it, but I would bet on going to check out Bengal and the YouTube channel. Bengal YouTube, you can follow him over on the X there as well. Bengal, thank you so much for hanging out with us. And this is like, this is work too. He didn't just show up and make these picks. These guys were making these picks all week in a slow draft. So I know the commitment it takes to do this show. I appreciate it. I know it's a busy time of year. And remember, if you want to see how these picks pan out for your fantasy team, join us right here on the channel. You can watch the draft. Put us on the other screen because we're going to be breaking things down the way you care about them from your fantasy team perspective. So we'll be doing that here on the Fantasy Bros YouTube channel. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Make sure you ring the bell for notifications and subscribe so you know when you ring that bell exactly when a new piece of content hits here on the channel. And we're going to be doing, again, live Thursday for the draft and Friday as well. So be with us for that. It is going to be amazing. We're all going to be here having fun, taking the picks in and giving you some fantasy advice out of it. And again, great stuff, boys, as always. And if you want to continue to flex your draft muscles, do it at fantasypros.com/simulator today. The mock draft simulator is open. Dynasty startups, rookie drafts, we've got it all here on Fantasy Pros. That'll do it for us. But the story of the game goes on for Derek Brown and Bengal and Bogman. I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Fantasy Football Podcast. If you love the show, the best free way to support us is by leaving a positive review on Apple Podcasts at fantasypros.com/review or on Spotify. Follow us on X, Instagram, and TikTok at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my! Look at that! He is! And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win! Unbelievable!
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl goes shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.